All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Well, this morning, I just want to, again, welcome you. If you're visiting with us, again, just happy to have you worshiping. And just want to say quickly thank you. A lot of you guys may have noticed I wasn't here last week. I just took some last-minute vacation time off and got away. But I just want to thank the elder team. If you saw, they were in full force last week doing different things. And Kim, I heard you did a great job leading worship. So again, I just want to thank you for keeping everything moving forward. If you didn't know, Andre kicked off last week for us the Advent season, talking about the importance of hope and just what a blessing that is. And if you didn't realize, it is Advent. Advent means coming or arrival. And so this isn't just an extension of Christmas. It is a season that links our past, present, and future in Christ. And so it's a pretty exciting time. Advent also offers us the opportunity to spend time reflecting and thinking about the love of God and just how he made that being known through his son Jesus. And this is something, a season where we get to celebrate this birth, remember it, and also be alert to his second coming. I know there's a lot of interest. We just finished the series in Revelations, and I've heard from a lot of you that said, hell, you should have continued. No. Maybe. We'll see. But there's a lot of prophetic things that follow after chapter 3 there that even scholars don't always agree on. But one thing that I've always took away from the study of Revelations is, are you ready? And will you be ready for when he comes again? And I think that is something that probably all scholars and pastors can agree on, is that there is that call to attention in Revelations to the return of Jesus. Now, as great as this season is, where we're afforded this opportunity, I think sometimes we forget about it. And the reason why is that we get busy. My wife and I just put a whiteboard calendar up in our house. And no, it's not for Christmas countdown or anything like that, but it's for us to pay attention to all the things that we need to kind of accomplish between here and the end of the year. And so part of that is, you know, when is family coming in for visits? When are we going to do certain Christmas parties? When can we have time to go out shopping? Things like that. And as soon as you know it, all of a sudden, those are the things we're focused on. And those are the things that become important. So I wrote this, a season of hope, peace, joy, and love is quickly turned into a season of stress. I know a lot of people will say, I can't stand this time. I hate going to the malls. Anybody like going to the malls during this time? So I married into a family that Black Friday shopping was a big deal. They were at the malls all day long, eating in restaurants and fighting, and so I've kind of grown accustomed to the crowds. I mentioned to somebody recently, yeah, we went Black Friday shopping. They go, you went to the mall in Grand Junction? Yep, we went to the mall in Grand Junction during that time. There's an attraction to that. But again, this can all be very distracting. And so, again, and then one thing I want to say about Advent too, as we look at these different themes here, it's not to erase either. It's not about just putting on happy faces. You know, life still happens. There's still struggles in life. There's still things that are happening that people are upset about. Guess what? Christmas isn't everybody's favorite time, not just because of the malls, but because it brings back the memory of things like loss. People that once were here are not here now, and they struggle. There are people who deal with real loneliness around the holidays, and the holidays perpetuate that. And so again, Advent is not a season of pretending to be happy or covering up pain or hardships we have experienced during this past year. It is a season, though, to dig deeper into God's presence. And what we're going to find here in just a few moments here is that's a big deal. And that can be a really big deal for people who are hurting. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be exploring, or as I should say, discovering Christmas. And we're going to get into the different attributes that we see about Jesus from different stories and sections of the Bible. And we're going to, as we dived in last week into the hope that Jesus brings, and this week we're going to talk about the peace, and then the next week the the joy and the love, and then Christmas Eve will come to the conclusion of the arrival and be reminded of the arrival of Jesus. So today we're going to be getting into the discovering the peace of Christmas. Now, I'm just going to ask this because I've worked in some different church settings. My first church, they were all from the Netherlands. Okay, all from the Netherlands. I'm telling you, like 3-4 generations deep at coffee hour. And even in there, there was this difference during coffee hour. Some were speaking in Netherlands language, and then another dialect, Fries, and they would separate. So when I went to work in Connecticut, believe it or not, that church, big Scandinavian population. Anyone from Finland? Heritage? Oh, I was like, are you sure? Not that I'm stereotyping, but Finland. Well, I want to bring this to your attention, right? Because there's an interesting thing that happens in Finland. Christmas Eve and peace is kind of a big deal to them. There's a tradition that goes on Christmas Eve, and it's going back to the 1300s. So think about this. This tradition is going on for 700 plus years, right? And so this is the tradition going on for 700 years. They call it the decoration of Christmas peace. Have you ever heard of this tradition? This is actually a thing that actually is happening still today. It was something of tradition. It usually was at a city official. He would talk from a balcony of a historic mansion in the center of town or the old Great Scare Square. But this decoration of peace was proclaimed, and it was on radio, then television, and you can actually go on the internet and watch it Christmas Eve if you would like to. So it's still going on today. So here it is. The decoration serves as a reminder and encouragement to spend the holiday in harmony with one another, and it also threatens offenders who would disrupt peace with real punishments. So here's what's read every Christmas year in Finland. Ready? Sorry for the small print. I'll read through it. This is what's announced. Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord Savior. Think about this. Public square. 700 years of tradition. And thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall, under aggravating circumstances, be guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all in inhabitants of the city. Finland, the city of Turku, decoration of Christmas peace. Pretty crazy. Did you catch that? If you disrupt somebody's peace, you're going to be prosecuted by the law. Some of your guys are like, that sounds great. I got some family members that I could put forward. Or you might have some neighbors. But what a great way to start off the Christmas season, right? On the other hand, yes, there's real consequences to this Christmas peace. But what a great way to start the season off, declaring Jesus as Savior and bringing peace. And that's pretty cool. And so we kind of have our own proclamation that we're going to read about today. Daddy's already kind of read it. We're going to go through it again anyway. But it is a proclamation of peace that we find in the scriptures here this morning. Similar to Finland, we have one as Christians that we find in the passage in our scripture today. Now, this passage may be familiar, and you're probably going to hate me for doing this, but this passage was pronounced in a very famous Christmas special, Charlie Brown Christmas. Linus reads the passage that we're about to read, and then he concludes with this statement. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. That is what Christmas is all around. So as we stand and pray, try to fight the urge to hear Linus speaking as I'm reading the words of Scripture here. Or if you do, and that helps, feel free to listen. Lord God, we thank you for this time that we can come into your house and worship you, God. I pray that through our attention, Lord, that would be an act of worship towards you, God. Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, that you would guide us into all truth. We pray, Lord, that the passage here, Lord, would not just be familiar, but it would bring new life into our senses this morning here, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So as Linus was preaching to Charlie Brown, he said, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests.' And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had told them about this child. And who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which just as they had been told." You may be seated. And this is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. All right, so what are we discovering this morning from the proclamation of peace? Well, similar to Finland's, it started off as a proclamation. We were told that a angel of the Lord appeared and brings this message of peace, of good news, right, to the shepherds. And so the first thing we're going to jump right into is that this proclamation was meant to bring peace for all who believe. And I'll dive into this statement here a little bit that I'm making. But, you know, and today we have what we call these gender reveal parties going on all throughout. You've probably seen it. Where, you know, there's this birth announcement and they're announcing the gender of the baby and things like that. People have gotten all creative. There's also been really devastating things that have happened. There's one that set a whole thousands of acres on fire in California. I mean, I can't imagine being that child's story. We announced the birth of our child and we burned everybody's homes down by doing that. Not a great thing to have there. So, but again, what we have here, though, is so much bigger than a gender birth announcement here. We have a reveal that's going to change the course of history. We're going to have a birth of a child that is going to forever change the landscape of this world as we know it. And they had been waiting for it. And so, again, here's the message. Today, a Savior has been born to you. Here's the big coming out party. Everything that they had been waiting for years. And I tack this on, not because I'm trying to cleverly, you know, use this idea of peace in the sermon here, but you're going to find out this is tied to this announcement. This idea of peace is tied to this Savior. And on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. Now, you got to keep this in mind. From the moment that Abraham received this idea that he was going to be a man of a great nation, a great people, right? When he was given this promise by God that his family would be a blessing to all people, all nations. There had been 2,000 years, more or less, take a few, add or minus, 2,000 years that had passed from that promise. Think about that. This is a people that were waiting. Yesterday's devotion, if you've been reading the Joy to the World Advent book that we gave out, December 9th devotion actually was about how King Herod wanted to find out about this Savior. And the devotion brought up the fact that he collected all the priests and teachers of the law and things like that to discern where the Messiah was going to be born. And they all concluded, right, in Bethlehem. This is the direction. This is the interpretation they gave. What is fascinating to me is that you don't see any of them running to go see this Savior. Did that escape you? They have been waiting for the promised Messiah for over 2,000 years. and none of them who were collected for Herod's own use thought, maybe we should go. We have shepherds that are going, we have wise men that are going, but where are the religious leaders of the day? They had been waiting for 2,000 years. And then think about this announcement, how it comes, right? We're told from the scriptures, in the middle of a dark, ordinary night, right? Bethlehem countryside, an angel appears in the sky, and then is joined by a whole host of angels. New Living Translation actually says it is the armies of heaven. I can't even imagine what that looks like. What a sight. I mean, it's one thing to see one angel, but then to see the armies of heaven all of a sudden show up behind this one angel. It gives me somewhat chills, but at the same time, too, it's somewhat uncomprehensive to me to know what that the shepherds are looking at. And then you have this praising going on. Have you ever thought about maybe what languages they're singing in? Now, I bring this up only because, right, the promised Messiah was going to be a blessing to all people of all nations. So was this message in, translated in all sorts of messages, languages? Was a song and different things. It was great, actually, if you remember when we had Caleb, one of our missionaries back here, right, from Turkey, and he did communion with us, and he did it in his language and in our language. I mean, think about that. And a lot of you guys said, man, that was really great. You know, if you experienced that when Caleb was here, you thought, wow, that was really meaningful. I mean, who knows? Again, speculation. What languages were they speaking in? And then there's the recipients of this message, right? I mean, you're talking about something people have been waiting for 2,000 years. It must have been real, real important people. But the scriptures tell us it's shepherds. They're the recipients of this. Who were they? What made them so special? I think most of you guys know, you probably have heard 100 sermons on this. Shepherds were just ordinary guys punching the clock at night. That was their work. Tending animals. Nothing special about them. So why the shepherds? Why the shepherds? Well, a couple thoughts here. Just follow me here. Maybe it's because shepherds actually tie many biblical threads together. Have you thought about that? If you think about it, shepherds remind us that the patriarchs of Israel were shepherds. Nomadic animal tenders, roaming ranchers of the ancient world. Abraham was the original recipient of this news, right? God's covenant that he would bless all the nations of the world through him. He was a shepherd. Carried on through Abraham's ancestors, Isaac, Jacob, and beyond, shepherds. David, Israel's one of Israel's greatest kings. Remember, he started out as a shepherd boy. He wasn't just a king. First a shepherd. But the shepherds were every man. They were the ordinary guy of the day, nothing special to them. No pride or arrogance, no religious bloating. Actually, you know, they weren't even registered as something special. If you think about it, when Jesus called his disciples, anything special about them? 12 ordinary guys, fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary people. Another thought on this idea, shepherds also signify Jesus' future ministry and teaching. Sheep might have been lowly animals, but they were very special animals to the Jewish culture. Do you know why? Because they were the animals of sacrifice. They were the animals that represented Christ's blood, an atonement for our sins. And each time it was done, the sacrifice was reminded of the original Passover, of God's deliverance of his people from the Exodus, from Egypt. You and I know Jesus was entering the world to fulfill his identity as the Lamb of God. So, again, his life made possible to experience true peace. This is what his sacrifice was about. And then lastly, such good news to lowly shepherds remind us that God's favor is not based on human standards. And I want to put this out here, this key thought here this morning. It's the only one I have here. Peace is not based on a class or position or occupation, but on God's purpose and design to bring good news that will cause great joy for all people who put their faith in Jesus. Now, one thing I want to remind us here, and this is really important for us to get our heads around. Although God offers peace to everybody, not everybody receives it. This year, we handed out this book. This is the last one. I think they've been taken. Oh, you have two in the office? Oh, all right. We got two hiding back there. Now, what's great about this is we offered this as a free gift to you this year. And it seems like a lot of you took it. But this gift doesn't serve you any benefit if you don't take it. And it's the same with Jesus when it comes to peace. And this is why he says, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. It is for all people. But it's on the people whom his favors rest. These are people who have received the gift. Keep that in mind. So what else are we discovering about peace from our passage this morning? Second thing is this. Jesus brings peace in the midst of our storms. Have any of you guys ever experienced a hurricane? I'm kind of trying to imagine that here in Colorado. Probably doesn't ever happen. My first hurricane I experienced, I'm on the East Coast. If you guys don't know, I'm originally from New York, Long Island. And the first one was this Hurricane Gloria that came through in 1985. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I was young and dumb, and I just was enamored by the wind and how it was blowing trees around, things like that. I think I even ran out on my front lawn and was like, woo, getting blown around by the hurricane. I know, we think of the destruction and devastation that hurricanes bring. But I remember in that first storm, going through the eye of the storm and thinking, oh, this is weird. The wind was blowing, trees are crashing, things are breaking. And I experienced that again in 2012 with my kids. I guess the child-like person in me didn't grow up because I had my kids sit out and watch the hurricane that was unfolding around us with trees. And we had a very wooded, lotted house. And they thought it was the coolest thing, too. A little terrifying, but that's okay. A little fear is okay with kids. But again, experiencing the eye of the storm. And when I think about that, I feel like the eye of a storm, if you've ever been caught in one, it's kind of an eerie feeling. It's weird, you know? Everything kind of calms down. I mean, your senses are saying there's a storm still happening, but there's this calmness that's going on. And this is the type of peace that I believe God brings. And so just follow me here a little bit. Our passage reminds us this is where God shows up, right? And here's what I mean by that. This is where the Christ child is born. This is where the angels show up. In the middle of Israel's dark night. And when I say that, what I'm referring to is Israel was under Roman oppression. Okay? There were things that were going on there that the Israelites were dealing with all sorts of oppression, centuries of oppression. And they were asking that question, where is God? Where is he? And in that moment, in that point of time, in their point of history, God shows up and he's there. Let this play out a little bit more. In the middle of a world turned upside down for a young Jewish couple, who had to figure out how to explain unexpected pregnancy to each other, also to their family and their friends, God shows up. Think about this a little bit more. This young couple, who then had to navigate the realities of paying their duties by traveling by foot across the country to be counted by their government, God is with them. He is there. How about this? Mary having to experience childbirth for the first time, far from home, without the support, care of the women and the midwives, would have guided Mary through this painful process. God is there. These are life storms that are going on. And then how about this? Being first-time parents. I remember when I took Kaylee home from the hospital, my first thought was, what are they doing? I literally said that to Kim. I said, they must be crazy. We have no experience. We had those 3 days of grace in the hospital. And then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I have a baby in the back of my seat, back seat. And I'm going, I'm thinking about all sorts of stuff. Like, I hope we don't break her. All these different things. Like, what if we don't get this right? Mary's first child. Being responsible for their first son. Oh, and by the way, God's son. God is there. In all these circumstances, in all their struggle, God continues to show up. And this is where God continues to show up for us in our pain, in our fears, in our confusion, in our grief, in our loss, and in our uncertainty. God is there. Look, I don't know what hardships, like I said at the beginning of this, Advent is not about putting smiley faces on and forgetting about the things that are painful in our life right now. It's about diving deeper into God's presence. I have no idea what you guys have experienced this year or even are experiencing, but God knows, and he's there for you. He will be there for you. The other thing that we discover about this peace from our passage is this, that not only God brings peace and calms our heart, but he has a peace that defies our circumstances. Look, some of you guys might be saying, this sounds nice, hearing a pastor talk about peace. I'm not feeling it. Thanks, pastor. Thanks. Just have more peace. That's great. Thank you. Appreciate that. Maybe some of you guys have felt that way. Maybe you've heard sermons like that, where the pastor's preaching very emphatically, hey, this is what you should have. You should have peace. It's great. Sounds nice. You might be thinking, you don't know how much it hurts. You have no idea how much it hurts. And you're right, I don't. I can only say I agree with how unfair it is. That's the best I can offer you. But Jesus can offer you so much more. And so how do you discover this kind of peace? How is it that you can experience this kind of peace that defies circumstances? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us a little bit of a roadmap, right? Here's how he says this. He doesn't just say, just have peace. You should get peace. Peace is a good thing. Get peace. No, he actually tells you how you do it. He says, here, listen to this. It sounds kind of counterintuitive, especially at the start here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. What? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Key part of this verse gets left out because of the way they put the numbers in to break up the verses. But this is part of a sentence that gets broken off. It starts with, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, here it is, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the process here. This is what Paul says. Here's what you got to do. You want to get peace? You want to know peace? Advent, it's a season of diving deeper in the presence of God. He says this very clearly, in every situation, by prayer. By prayer. And petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In every situation. Look, I don't pretend to understand how this all works. But what I'm telling you as a pastor is, there's power in prayer. There's something to this idea of going to God in prayer. Yes, we're called to say, bring your request to God. This doesn't necessarily say that you get everything you want. That's not the intent of prayer. God answers according to his will, and but we are promised that he is listening. He's listening to those who come towards him with a heart of gratitude. He's there for you. But I think the real miracle in prayer is that when we spend time in prayer talking to God, we're growing in, we're developing that relationship with God. And it's in that presence of God that he brings peace. It doesn't mean answers. It doesn't mean getting what you want. but it does mean you get him. And that's really what Advent is about. As we go through these next couple of weeks, and we look at hope, and we look at peace, and we look at joy, and we look at love, it's about diving deeper into his presence. And it's there that we get, as this passage says here, this peace that passes all understanding. Finally, one other thing here that we see in our passage clearly is this: peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. Paul says this, I love this, in Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. And long before Paul says these words, the prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah 9. He says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. Look, I get it. We were talking about this earlier in our Sunday school this morning. You know, we were talking about Thomas's doubt, and we were talking about when Jesus enters into that doubt, he talks about peace be with you, right? And he says that twice, actually, in the context of that passage. He says it one time where Thomas is not present with the disciples, and he says it another time where Thomas is present with his disciples, and he says, peace be with you. And we talked about this morning, yes, it's unnerving to have someone who's dead, who's now alive again, to be in your midst, but why else would he be saying peace to them? Because they find themselves in life storms. Their best friend had died. They thought this guy was going to take them to the glory land. See, they were confused. They thought the Messiah was going to usher in reign at that moment, that time. He would be a political power to be dealt with. He would overthrow Rome. And you can kind of understand how they got to that place. Because as looking back on some of these Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah, there seems to be a real sense of government that was being promoted here. But more importantly, in this passage here, in Isaiah's passage, there are tones of completion of Christ's work and his eventual establishment of God's kingdom. And that's why we see this. For us, to us, a child is born, to us, a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. And we're told what this will look like. He'll be, what kind of ruler will he be? He'll be a wonderful counselor. He'll be a mighty God, an everlasting father, a prince of peace. Jesus is the bringer of peace between us and God. We know that. Scriptures tell us clearly in Romans that we were once enemies of God. And this is primarily the peace that he's bringing. He wants us to have a relationship with the Father again. His life, his sacrifice accomplishes that. This is why when we pray and sing songs, we can come boldly before the throne. For what Jesus did, he settled the dispute. He settled the issue of sin once and for all. There is now no more conflict with God because of what his son Jesus did. He is the bridge of peace that we cross into that heavenly realm. Jesus is the God who came to be with us, and he offers this invitation in this Advent season. And here's the offer, right? Matthew 11. Here's what he says to all of us this morning. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This sure sounds like an offer of peace. This sounds like an offer of peace. In the second week of Advent, let me encourage you guys for this, to look to the Prince of Peace. Even when the winds blow and the storms swirl, let me all encourage us to come and worship like the shepherds. When we find ourselves in the darkness and the storms of life, and let me remind him to come to him, because he's here and he is the Prince of Peace. He loves you. He is with you. He is for you. Again, Advent is not about having it all together. Advent is about pressing into his presence. Again, this may be an incredible time for you right now. But if it's a hard time for you, press into the Lord. It's in that presence that he offers his peace. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this time, God. I thank you that we can, in this season of Advent, remember all that the scriptures have pointed to over thousands of years. They have pointed to you. We can remember that. We can see the realities of the impact your life made in this world. And it can give us hope for our future. God, I don't seem to understand where everybody is. And that's fine. The body of Christ is diverse. That even means in our emotions. There will be people who find this a really fun time of the year. And an easy time of the year. And a joyous time of the year. But there are others who, for the way the world has marketed itself, can't stand it. I pray no matter what, though, that we would all find our peace in you. Because you tell us that the storms of life will come. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. And I pray, Lord, that we would be comforted by your presence in those moments. That you would be our shelter, the wing that we hide under. And that you would give us that calm that passes all understanding. God, our passage reminds us that a Savior has been born. And this should be good news to all people. But the reality is not everybody receives the gift. And so it's my prayer, Lord, as we go through these next couple of weeks, as family starts to come in or we start to go visit family, God, I pray that we would find ourselves in a position to hear how great your Son is. And for those whose hearts and minds have been shut to this point, I pray that they would be open to receiving your gift of peace this Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us as we try to sing with the angels? Hark the herald angels sing for our closing song this morning.
Sing glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ the highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold he come, offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hailed incarnate deity.
Man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace,
hail the Son of Righteousness,
light and life to all he brings,
risen with
healing in his wings.
While he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise. sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
What an amazing announcement, God. To us, a Savior who's been born. Lord, I pray as we leave here this morning, Lord, that we would just lean into that Savior of yours, the Son that you have provided for us to provide peace, not only in our life storm, but the peace that you provide between us and you. And may I pray, Lord, that we'd be steadied by that peace as we go through this season of Advent. I pray that for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.